All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. And 9:40 on Tuesdays, of course, it is our customary slot to talk with our friends at SalesportTalk.com. We have Karen Lyle on the phone. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm in London, and you're in San Francisco.
Yes, and I'm jealous. And also, if you see in the Twitch.tv cameras, we have the lovely and talented Jacqueline Kavanagh. She is a crew equipment recruiter. She is a circumnavigator. She is an ocean racer, and she's here with us. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. It is my pleasure.
Now, the difference between you and Magellan is that you weren't killed in the Philippines. So tell us about circumnavigating the globe, please.
Well, I certainly wasn't killed, no. Well, I circumnavigated the globe on the 2019-2020 Clipper race. It's a round-the-world yacht race that non-professionals can take part in. Now, I wasn't a particularly good sailor. I hadn't done much sailing at all, but I was looking for an adventure. I had a very happy life at home back in Ireland. I had the house, I had the car, I had the kids, I had the husband. But I just wanted to do something a little bit different. And I came across Clipper, and that certainly offered something different. So basically, I joined the race. I signed up for one leg, and I ended up sailing around the world. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was, I would say, a life-changing experience. When the race was over, we sold our home, we bought a boat, we sailed to the Caribbean.
Wow.
My husband Sin sailed around the world, and now I work for the Clipper, encouraging other people to go around the world.
Amazing.
So, Jacqueline, it's a pleasure to meet you by audio, because I'm not there in the studio with you, but I really am excited about your role and what you did with Clipper, because you came from a position of not ever having been involved in any kind of circumnavigation, and then you got trained basically by the Clipper race and then changed your life. So what is it that clued you into this thing that made you want to go ahead and do it?
I like that. The Clipper race offers something that no other race or kind of activity offers. It takes people like myself that doesn't really have experience and gives them 4 weeks of training and puts them in a situation where they can step on a 70-foot racing yacht and race against another 11 70-foot racing yachts. You can go on one leg, which would be, for example, for the UK down to South America, or you could go from South America to Cape Town, Cape Town over to Australia, Australia up to Asia, or round leg six, which is really popular, the North Pacific, and sail back to America. Then, of course, the Clipper came into San Francisco a couple of times before, and then back to the UK. So it offers, and I think this is what attracted me so much, it offers the opportunity to do something that most people think is beyond the possibility. So I've been speaking to people, and they don't realize that this is possible for the non-professional sailor. Like people just like me, just like, say, whoever's sitting here, Paddy, in sitting next to me here. You come along, you do the training. The training is rigorous. Safety is at the forefront, but it is absolutely fantastic, because you're taken, you're given the language, you're given the skills, you get the muscles, you build up some amazing muscles, you meet fantastic people. And of course, it's all based in history. Sir Robin Knox Johnson founded the race, so there is a massive sailing history there, and that's kind of filters through everything we do.
We've been lucky to have Sir Robin on the show several times. He's a fascinating guy. I could talk to him all day. Tell us, if you would, Jacqueline, about the privations of being at sea that long, and maybe a couple of moments of peril that you experience.
Well, what happens is you get very used to very quickly living in a very confined situation. So as I said, the yachts are 70 foot. You can have up to 23 people on board. So you have a professional skipper, a professional first mate, and the rest of the crew are people like me. You have a bunk, but you hot bunk. So when somebody jumps out of the bunk, you jump in. This is great when you're on a cold leg, because it means you have a nice warm bunk. Less great on a hot leg, because maybe your bunk is a little hot. You get very used to requiring very little. So initially, say on level one of training, everyone arrives down, because you do the training in the UK, everyone arrives with enormous big bags with all their gear. It's like the first day at school. They have their shiny new sailing boots and they're all delighted. And essentially, they will go on board and live on the same in the same shorts and T-shirts or the same pair of trousers from the week. So you basically realise you need very little. But one of the things as well that you come to understand is that there's a certain group of people that are very like-minded, that are looking for adventure. They like sailing, they like the ocean, they like the wildlife, they like looking at the sunset. And you're spending maybe up to 6 weeks on board with these people. There's no showers, you have to cook for each other. The boat is your home, so you're looking after the boat. The boat is precious, the boat is bringing you over those big waves. But those people on the boat with you are the people that you become your second family. And at times, yes, there are amazing big waves, but sometimes, yes, there are very challenging times, but that's part of the adventure. There's no point just signing up for something like this and being on a flat surface. Mm-hmm. You want those big waves, surfing at 29 knots down with the spinnaker. It's like fantastic. But those people that you're living on that boat with, you, let's say you get to know them fairly well. Yeah. No, I don't mean that well. that's a different kind of thing. Yeah. We get to know them very well, that you have to realize that there isn't much privacy, put it that way.
Karen.
And Jacqueline, you also have mentioned that there are sponsors for the race. And I know that South Beach Yacht Club in the past has sponsored the race when it comes into town.
Yeah.
Can you explain what it is that's important to you, you know, those people who are on those boats, about the yacht clubs that basically say, hey, we're glad you're here and we're making you welcome?
I know I was talking to Patty earlier on, who's involved in the South Beach Yacht Club. The yacht clubs that sponsor a boat, it's a massive sense of pride for the yacht club to have the boat coming in. To see the actual boats lined up with the fleet is absolutely stunning. Over the years, there's various yacht clubs. Like last year, there would have been Washington, D.C. sponsored a boat and they did a fantastic promotion for Washington. The race came in over three previous races. And again, there's shots of the fleet going under the Golden Gate Bridge. It's one of the shots that we use quite often for a promotion because of the welcome that they got in San Francisco. So yes, being part of the race is, because of course we have stepovers in various cities. So for yacht clubs to be part of the race, it's mutually beneficial. Of course, we're talking about the yacht clubs when we're sailing around the world. But then when we come into port, it's the opportunity for the sailors in the yacht club to meet the crew and talk to them. And quite often they're inspired by the stories, because again, you can be in a yacht club and you can do your weekend sailing, which is fabulous, and around the Cannes on a Wednesday night. But when you actually meet people that have just sailed across an ocean, you think, wow, maybe I could do that, and think bigger and maybe step outside and live a life a little less ordinary.
I know in college they have something called Semester at Sea. And so I think when you get to be like over 40, you think, well, that's that chance gone. But this is kind of like doing that once again. And so you get a chance to do this and learn. I mean, the resiliency, and I can see the passion in your eyes when you're talking about this. You feel pretty invincible after it, don't you?
Of course, age is absolutely no barrier. As you can tell, I'm only 18. So
I was young.
Yeah, I was 17. Yeah, I've aged since I've come to San Francisco. So age is absolutely no barrier. In fact, some of the, let's not say, well, more mature people that come on the boat, of course, they have years of experience that they can share. But we have people from 18, like myself, up to 75. And what is absolutely amazing is that there's not many situations now in life when you can have somebody who is 18 sitting down having a heartfelt conversation with somebody in their 70s on watch with amazing sunset or dolphins beside them, no phones, no computers, just chatting about life, and you're doing that over a long period of time, and you end up having the weirdest friendships because you go, when else would I ever meet these people? We have people racing on the race from 65 different nationalities. So, like, quite often on my boat, Ha Long Bay, Vietnam, I always think we had the best boat, of course.
What's the boat's name?
It was sponsored by Ha Long Bay, Vietnam.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the name of the boat.
It's each sponsor. So, for example, Ha Long Bay, Vietnam, the port, and the port would have gone into Vietnam on the last race.
I thought you might have been Pat the Baker, Galway.
I would like to be. I would be Jacqueline the Baker. Jacqueline the Baker, Drogheda, where I'm from.
Drogheda. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was probably rambling anyway, so that's okay. But what I was saying is about the friendship that you make on board. Very, very random friendships that you would not have in any other situation. Because basically now life is so busy, everyone's on their phone, everyone's on their laptop, that having an opportunity to sit on deck eating your breakfast, some dolphins, and talking to somebody from a country that you've never, maybe not, like, have never visited or met anyone from before, is a very, very special opportunity.
And for people to go online and find out more about this, where would they go?
They go to the Clipper website, clipperaroundtheworld.com, and we're actually at South Beach Yacht Club on Thursday night making a presentation at 7 p.m. if you would like to come along. And also this weekend, I'm going down to Santa Clara Business Convention Center for the Travel and Adventure Show. So come along down there. There's lots of people that are coming down to book some cruises, but I'm going to try and convince them to sail around the world instead. It would be a lot more fun.
Jacqueline Cavanagh, you're grand. Thank you so much for coming in. And Karen, thanks for calling in from England.
Well, you're sure welcome. It's good to talk to you. And Jacqueline, such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
You are invited to sign our celebrity wall of sailors in the Sports Byline studio headquarters there that Sail Sports Talk is located in.
Thank you so much. It's my privilege to do it, and thank you very much. And I hope to meet you in person sometime soon.
Great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.